forgotten.
Hold on.
Oh, hold on.
We're going. Welcome back.
Pew, pew, pew.
This afternoon delight. I got trigger happy, and Ben was trying to ask me a question before we started. It's Kyle Rush, Ben Taylor. And Ben, I plan to talk about more practice, but did you have something you needed to say before?
Not now. Kyle's literally the worst producer ever. Like, you're supposed to give like a countdown, and Kyle just turns the record button on while I'm in the middle of talking about some personal issues that I've got.
Yeah, amateur hour. Yeah, let's don't talk about that.
And then all of a sudden I look up and I see it recording. I'm like, oh.
I don't think it caught anything beforehand. So we're good to go. Auburn's second practice today, and we got our second viewing period, which is just so cool. That just doesn't happen.
So you're not there long enough to I keep wondering if there's if I'm telling you this whole 13 days thing's gonna boil over. Somebody's gonna fight. We got a fight coming.
We need one. You gotta have one. Like, so, I'm convinced that if there's aren't fights in fall camp, you can't win a championship.
Right.
If there are fights, you're right. It's gonna happen. I would imagine when it's like offense versus defense, it's probably not going to be within.
It won't be two. It won't be two offensive linemen, or it won't be two wide receivers or something. It'll be, somebody's going to get handsy. Xavier Atkins is going to hit somebody a little harder than he's probably supposed to. And somebody's going to pop up.
And he's going to let them know about it.
Yeah. And there's going to be some retaliation. Have you ever noticed it's always the aggressive defender that initially starts it, because they'll be doing like some walkthroughs or going like half speed. Next thing you know, somebody ends up on the rear end and it's like, okay, so now this is where we are. Okay.
I would be concerned if there's no fights. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. If there's no fights coming out of camp, I think I'm taking the under.
I'm telling you, with 13 straight days, they're going to get sick of one another. Somebody's going to fight.
Yeah.
So, and this is totally off topic, but that's why I worried when Kevin Overton posted that picture of them on the plane going to Europe. I was like, oh boy, that's a long ride, dude.
They can't turn those around.
That's an 8-hour flight in the middle of the ocean. I hope we've got them with other people. This wasn't a chartered flight. So
that's true. It's true. Gosh, I didn't even think about that. Yeah. That's hilarious. Ben, today, we go into practice and not knocking anything, okay? It is what it is. The music was so loud. I've never experienced anything like that before, like since college, like being back in the boom room and at the back of Sky Bar. It was so loud. Everybody was so jacked up. Like, it was crazy. But I had to go outside. I was like, I'm gonna throw up. The bass is gonna make me throw up.
I'm gonna throw up.
Yeah, I had to go outside for a little bit. They cranked it down whenever they broke, but when they were getting, I guess it's just getting amped. Like, they're trying to get you jacked up to go to work, man. And it was so funny. We walked in and everybody's like, you're just talking as loud as you can. You can't hear the person next to you. It was hilarious. If you're viewing this, that was epic, by the way.
Yeah,
that was a fantastic. In my opinion, I acted that out perfectly.
You did. Well done. Well,
I didn't know if it was going to be like they were practicing for noise, but I think it was just get everybody.
No, I think they were just getting jacked up, because I saw a couple of, I guess, some media members posted some videos of it. I was like, that sounds really loud. Like, the microphone on the camera did not do it justice, it doesn't sound like, because, yes, it sounded loud, but there was no way, nobody was screaming at the person shooting the video, so you couldn't tell how loud it was. So, it was
loud.
but the thing is, I guess it showed it too when they were stretching, and they looked like they were pretty pumped up. They looked like they were.
I get so nervous every time. See it every time, and I'll tell you why. I see they do this every practice, and it makes me terrified every time I see it. But Byron Brown and DeMarcus Riddick come running full speed, and they do the jump shoulder bump thing, and I'm just like, here comes the ACL, here comes the ankle. Every single time, it makes me nervous. You know what? That's selfish. They got to stop that.
I thought Malzahn told them they had to quit doing that.
Well, Malzahn's four coaches ago.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, that was a thing like 10 years ago, and like all it took was like one player actually ruining their ankle. Like, it wasn't even at Auburn. It was like another player somewhere turned an ankle when they came down. It was like, okay, we're done with that. And maybe it was basketball. Maybe a basketball team, it happened to somebody. Somebody did get hurt doing that. And literally one of the coaches at one of the next press conferences said, we're done doing the whole jumping and bumping into one another deal.
Interesting. I don't remember that. I do remember, was it it's one of the Grammaticas after remember he kicked the field goal and then tore his ACL on the celebration.
Yes.
But I mean they're big dudes and they get up there. It's not like no mini jump either.
I know.
Let's go as high as we can and meet in the air, and then we're gonna come down safely. And it makes me nervous every single time.
Then we're gonna come down safely.
Ben, today I'll tell you this, you're gonna get excited about this. I feel confident in saying Omar Mabson's the number two running back. Like, I don't see anybody beating him out.
He just looks that good.
He looks that good. I took a picture, and I should have uploaded it. Like, he's bulked up so much. And, I mean, he looks like an SEC running back.
I think he's up shorter, to 220 or 224 or something like that. That's what – Bill on the show this morning, and Bill said that he had talked to him just because of the Auburn High connection. And I think he told him like 220. He said it on the show this morning because he had asked Omar. He said, what are you up to now? And I think he said like 226 or something like that.
He's every bit of 220. They have him listed at 215 on the roster.
Yeah, that's not right. It's 220 plus for sure what Bill said. That's what Omar told him.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
That's a huge storyline. Let me ask you this. Does it make you feel any better or worse because of the expectations that we had on Bryson Washington, and he was a 1,000-yard rusher last year? Or not? Was it last year that he was a 1,000-yard rusher, or was it 2 years ago?
No, it was last year.
Do you feel any better or worse with that news? Like, take personal agenda aside and just strictly from a talent perspective.
No, when we acquired Bryson Washington, it actually worried me that maybe Omar had taken a step back, or maybe he had something hurting that we didn't know about, because I thought Omar was going to be the number two this year, regardless of who we picked up.
Yeah.
And then when we picked up Washington, I was like, oh man, 1,000-yard back. Like, maybe Omar's hurt. Maybe something's going on. So this actually makes me feel better, because I think he was in a different system with a different team with different play calls. Not saying that that's what led to his 1,000 yards, but I'm just saying the way they handled things. And now he's over here with some guys that can compete for a spot with him, and some SEC backs rather than Baylor backs. And so I just think that, and I think that the work's been put in the offseason. I mean, Omar should be starting his freshman year of college this year. And yeah. I think maybe some maturity has set in on him. And, he's clearly put on some – he's dropped some of the baby weight and put on some muscle. So, I think he's just – I said that on the show this morning with Bill Cameron, who has an afternoon show on one of our stations. And I just said, I can't wait to see him next year. I mean, I know that I'm excited about seeing him this year. But, I mean, next year is when he's finally, like, going to be 20, 21 years old and really filling out. And got another offseason and another season to run behind Cobb, where he can get some tips from him and learn some things. So I feel better because it ensures me that he's not hurt. Like, we didn't bring Washington in to replace Mabson. We brought him in to compete with Mabson, and Mabson right now is winning that game.
Yeah. Let me start off by saying, just looking at Omar, like, he's going to be good. Like, yeah. he's going to be legit. So that, like, don't get me wrong when I tell you, give you my take on this. I think it's less about Omar winning it though, and more about Bryson, the storyline around Bryson not being, I guess, ready to play when he got here, because Bryson's going fourth in a lot of stuff. I don't exactly know.
Is that a message being sent, or is that
he did it all during spring too? So
who's three?
I know in spring, Nakai Davenport.
Hmm.
And then it will be Bryson, and then Tay Meadows, and then Alvin.
So Alvin hasn't moved up in the depth chart at all.
No, that's just it's tough for him. I know people. He's kind of a fan favorite type thing, just from his recruitment and whatnot. But the only but back to what I was saying was the only reason I'm not like holy cow, he beat out Bryson Washington. It's not. It doesn't really feel that way to me. Like it doesn't feel like.
Oh, you think it's more about Bryson Washington's just not ready, yeah. And that's why he's getting the nod.
Correct, but he looks great.
Yeah, No, I get. So what you're
I'm
saying.
Like, I don't know which way to go. You know what I mean?
Well, it's got to be concerning if you, you know, I know we poke fun of it tongue in cheek, but the whole, you know, chubby butt thing out of spring, and clearly that didn't get sorted out between April and now. And
he doesn't look chubby to me. Bryson doesn't look chubby to me at all. Like he looks really good.
Okay, so he looks good to you, but did from what they thought they were getting from what he looked like at Baylor, does he look chubbier than there?
I couldn't tell.
I just
you
don't
that.
Remember. I didn't watch a lot of Baylor games after Auburn played him last year. So I just saw highlights.
I don't know if it's just a conditioning thing or what. Because I didn't look at him and say he's overweight. Like it's pretty clear he's not in good shape. Like he didn't look like he was in bad shape. And it may be that you have to earn your way if you don't live up to the standard, you know, mm-hmm. and you start living up to the standard, it takes a while to kind of work yourself out of the doghouse. But like I just don't know that Omar's gonna let this guy beat him out.
Well, that's what you said that. Dr. Daryl has said that. Bill has said that. Like all you guys that have seen practices have said, everybody that I've had on my show has said, I don't know that Omar's willing to give up that number two spot right now. No. And it's like he's going to do whatever it takes to maintain and stay there. And
now the question, it's you're right. I agree with every one of them. The question now to me is less about will he be the number two guy and more about how many, like what's just going to be his share of carries? Because Golish mentioned in his opening press conference of the season, hey, I want to have two number ones and I want them rotating.
Yeah.
Is Omar, I think the question now is Omar to the level where he could be and he could be good enough to where it's okay to take some of Cobb's carries away, because Cobb looks like an animal too.
Yeah, he does. Well, and he's been quoted as saying how good Omar looks. So when your peers are saying that, that ain't just media.
They both are jacked. They both look really good.
Well, that's like his team meeting yesterday before practice one. You know, they got that Auburn football social media put that out there where he's like, we're going to run it down their throats and play flying around defense. So he clearly plans on running the football. Period.
They're both, yeah, and they don't look like Jeremiah Cobb to me always had seemed really lean.
Yeah,
and I feel stupid for not uploading this picture. I guess mostly because we're mainly audio only, but he's like, and I know I've already said this, but he's noticeably bigger to where he looks like he's close to 220 as well. Mm-hmm. So like you got two running backs. One in 1A and 1B that are, you know, close to 220 pounds. It'll just be, I think the storyline is shifted to me. It ain't about who's number two anymore to me. That's Omar. It's going to be about how many carries should Omar get. I think that's the next question.
And judging by the game plan, I guess that depends on how many series Auburn gets.
I would have never thought that this was an option. I just thought that you go get Bryson. He's a 1,000-yard back. Like, he's the dude. Like, it's going to be a 1-2 punch. And then maybe next year, If Cobb doesn't come back, you know, you just kind of hand the keys over to him.
Yeah.
But that does not necessarily seem like the case right now.
Mm.
Yeah. And I get my tone may sound negative, but it's not. It's
no, I totally
mega positive.
Well, yeah. If they're audio only, they may be thinking tone, but no, you clearly like the look on your face. You can tell it almost surprises you that Omar is as good as
in
he
a good
is.
Way.
Yeah.
In a good way.
And so, other offense, because you said you were going to follow the offense.
Focus on offense. The only other thing to me that I could really see that I guess I thought was surprising was, I guess this is two practices now. I didn't see yesterday's practice, and I didn't catch Zach's notes that this was the same way yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But Stanton, Ramil,
yeah,
and Joe Simmons are opposite. So Joe Simmons is playing left tackle, and Stanton is right tackle, which okay. Everyone thought Stanton Ramil is going to be your left tackle. And I think he played a little left tackle last year before he got injured. In spring, you had Joe Simmons played a lot of right tackle. I can't remember how he played in the 8A game, but that's two practices now where they're switched.
Mm.
So that's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think it necessarily – has to mean anything positive or negative, but it's just interesting.
I'm glad that's taking place now. I'm just wondering when they don the pads on Saturday. I think they're supposed to be in pads, so they'll start popping. Then I'm wondering how that switching, how much of that's going to be done before they start having to implement the game plan of what they're going to be doing against Baylor, and everything needs to be kind of set.
You know, Ben. I get the feeling that they aren't trying stuff out right now. Like they are so far ahead of everything. I feel like it's already figured out. Like, and I go to, I can point to that one, and then I can point to the Chaz Nimrod thing. Going from slot to the outside, it's two practices again. He never took a rep in the slot. It was all left outside to wide receiver. And this may point to the, you know, having my offense installed and kind of being ahead of the game or the attention to detail. I don't feel like they're playing guessing games right now.
Hmm.
I feel like they know they know the direction they want to go with this thing, and they're rocking from day one. The only player I can really think where I could say they don't know where he's going to go yet is Champ Anthony, because Champ yesterday worked with the safeties, and I think today he worked a lot with the corners.
But we know he's going to be on the field. I mean,
that's a pretty good damn sign that he's going to be on the field when he's been working. You know, he's working with multiple groups,
yeah,
and showing positional flexibility.
And both Alex and DJ Durkin have said that they're like, he's got to be out there. Like, we got to find a place for him.
I don't think they're experimenting much right now,
dude.
This is it.
If that's the case, they are head and shoulders above. And I know that it sounds like I'm bugging here, which I probably am a little bit. But you hear other stories, and you know, I read other things from other teams. How, well, we're trying this with this person, and we're moving this person around, and we don't know what we're doing this. And I'm talking good program. I'm talking Georgia's doing that right now. Florida, of course, is doing that under their new staff because they're still trying to figure things out. I hadn't really heard some. Alabama's doing a good job of keeping a lot of stuff close to the vest.
Yeah, they're keeping the quarterback thing on the down low.
But LSU Lane, they had him on friggin' Sports Center last night. He was talking about that. He was like, "We're still trying to figure out where we got to put guys." And
they may say that publicly.
Yeah,
I don't. I think what we're seeing is it.
Hmm.
Barring injury.
It seems like from what you said, from what you've seen, and you know, the first, because it's,
I mean,
how Golish is. He is a repetitive, like, he doesn't want to move it around. He's all about repetition, the standard, get it right before we move on. So if he ain't moving them around, then it's like, this, you got to get it right. This is where you are.
I think they're repping. They have a really good idea of the direction they want to go on offense. I could be 1,000,000% wrong, but I just – I don't know. At least right now, I don't think I am.
I don't know if he's going to change it depending on how Brown does and if Brown opens it up, but it does sound like everything he says, everything he does, everything has turned out to be, this is our game plan. And the team seems to be buying into it. Like they've said, you know, SEC media days, things that Byram said, you know, they seem to be, hey, this is what we're, and maybe that's what they needed, Kyle. Maybe the team needed direction. Maybe they needed a, instead of a maybe guy, or we'll see, or we're close, or we're going to try to figure this out. Maybe they need a guy and go, no, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
And you guys have got to get it right. Because until it's perfect, we're not going to put it on the field. And that kind of sounds the direction that Golishan staff is going with.
I think so. Well, again, I just don't think they're finding – they're not looking – they're not searching for things right now.
Yeah.
It feels like they've kind of made up their mind, and then we're going out there and we're getting better. Real quick before we get out of here, there was this wide receiver drill they were doing, man. And I'm just imagining if I was doing this drill and how awful I would be at it. But number one, you've seen those – little portable shed things where, like, typically, like, offensive and defensive linemen, they like fire off and they got to stay up underneath it. Well, the wide receivers had that, okay? And so, like, they were simulating coming out of a break, like a quick comeback route, and they catch the ball, and then they got to turn and get upfield. And the, this is where I'm dead. Like, there's no chance. Like, I'm tackled every time. And I joked with somebody, and I'll tell you about it in just a second. So, they come back, they catch the ball, and they turn around, and then a coach is throwing one of those giant workout balls at them. Like, that's, oh, Lord. Just huge.
Yeah.
And if it hits you, you're tackled. So I was like, yeah, there's no chance. I'm a possession receiver. There's no chance. Like, I'm catching it, and that ball's up in my grill, and I'm down.
You're going straight down.
Going down. Now, it wasn't big enough where it would knock you over, but yeah, it, but touches you, you're down.
In other words, you're saying you're glass. You're just, yeah.
I'm going to catch the ball, turn around, and just hold my hand up. Like, I'm down. I'm down right now. I'm a possession guy. We move the chains. I'm not breaking a single tackle. That's so funny.
Kyle's a guy that the coach had to constantly go, stay on your feet.
Yeah. No, dog. I called it. We got the first down, and I'm down.
Yeah. Kyle immediately catches it, and he's in fetal position.
Zero yak. Yards after catch, zero.
I'll tell you this real quick. We had a tight end. I was at the slot, and we had a tight end, and they had a little tight end drag route, and he just got manhandled in high school. And he got back to the huddle, and he looked at the quarterback. And he said, "Don't you ever throw me that football."
I love it. No, man.
He knew he was in there to block. He was not wanting to go across the middle and stick his hands up.
I love it. No, man, I'm excited. We get pads on Saturday. So, Ben, we'll talk about that, I guess. We'll have to find something else to talk about tomorrow. We don't got practice to review tomorrow.
So. I know. Well, we got, there's stuff. Preview of what we expect to see on Saturday.
There you go. Guys, thank y'all for listening. Make sure you like, make sure you subscribe, and we'll talk again very, very soon. We're out of here. War Eagle.
War damn Eagle.